Stop 3, the Golden Dragon Museum. From the bridge, cross into Rosalind Park and immediately turn right. Follow the path alongside Bendigo Creek and past the fernery on your left. When you get to the gate at the far end of the park, I'll give you the rest of the directions. But meanwhile... This music from master Chinese musician Wang Shengting represents the departure of Chinese diggers from the Siyap district near Canton. They travelled to Hong Kong, then embarked on a treacherous voyage to Australia on British or American ships. Leaving behind a poor, conflicted homeland, they arrived in Port Phillip to be charged £10 a head to disembark. This is possibly the first instance of Australians' fear of Asian boat people. But the Chinese were not easily deterred. Subsequent boats docked in South Australia to avoid the landing tax, and the Chinese walked up to 800 kilometres overland to the goldfields. We tell their story on the diggings tour, where you can visit Chinese sites at Vaughan and Guildford, south of Castlemaine. But before they went to those places, the Chinese diggers came here to Bendigo in 1854. They began arriving at a time when the surface alluvial gold was running out, so the sudden appearance of these men in pigtails set alarm bells ringing amongst the European diggers. Unlike the European diggers, the Chinese came in organised groups from their home villages. In Bendigo, this translated into 9 Chinese camps, each with a headman, who organised the camp and kept order. By 1855, there were roughly 5,500 Chinese in Bendigo, and they worked the tailings, that is, the dirt left over by the European diggers. So they only got the gold the other diggers had missed. But the original diggers still felt threatened. On one occasion, the Bendigo Advertiser reported that 1,500 diggers had assembled to drive the Chinese from Bendigo. Police and troops were set to guard the Chinese camps, and by 1856 these camps became protectorates, with a government protector and police, along with interpreters and Chinese headmen. Of course, these protectorates served to segregate as well as to protect, but many Chinese navigated around the barriers and set up businesses as hawkers and herbalists, market gardeners and restaurateurs. You should now be at the end of Rosalind Park. Go through the gate, cross Park Street, and in front of the Golden Dragon Museum you'll see 2 lions. Go to the lion on the left. Pause this till you get there. You should now be by the left-hand lion in front of the Golden Dragon Museum. This award-winning museum not only tells the history of the Chinese in Bendigo, but contains treasures from ancient China and 8 ceremonial dragons, including Sun Lung, the largest dragon outside China. Nearby, over by Bendigo Creek, is the Garden of Joy, the Yi Yuan, and the Joss House for Guan Yin, the goddess of mercy. You can visit them at your leisure. But now, here's museum director Russell Jack, who calls himself an ABC, an Australian-born Chinese. And Russell's talking with the producer of this pod tour, Jan Wozitski.
Well, outside the Golden Dragon Museum, first up I'd like to introduce you to Russell Jack. G'day, Russell.
Hello, how are you?
What's your position here in the Golden Dragon Museum?
I'm the president of the Bendigo Chinese Association and director of the Golden Dragon Museum.
And when did your people come here to Bendigo?
Around about the 1860s. So they would have come for the gold.
And the Golden Dragon Museum, how did it begin and when did it begin?
Well, what happened in the late 1960s, the Bendigo City Council threw out a challenge to any organisation in the region to put together a tourist destination. The Bendigo Chinese Association took up the challenge. In 1970, they didn't even have a banking account. 1990, they built the Golden Dragon Museum, cost $3.25 million, joint project between the state government, the city council and the Chinese Association. And we brought the project in 2 months ahead of schedule and debt-free.
And have you been part of constructing it right from the word go?
Yeah, well, actually, it was my dream. And, they also thought I was stupid, but never mind. They realised that dream, and we've got a bit more dreaming to do.
What inspired you?
Well, when I was very young, I was number four son. Now, usually in Chinese families, the number one son gets all the responsibility. For some reason, I got it all. And my dad always used to call me by my Chinese name. He'd say, young man, when you grow up, I want you to look after the Chinese people in this region.
Can we go over to the right line here? And one thing I'm curious about, when we look closely, under his foot, that's a ball?
Yes.
But what does a ball in the mouth mean?
Well, they say if you reach up and roll the ball around in the lion's mouth, it's lucky. And you'll notice also the paw and the ball that's getting rather smooth, because we have quite a few ladies and gentlemen, they come across here every day. They rub the ball, they rub the paw, and then they go out and play the pokies. They said it works. Whether it does or not, I don't know.
What does the Chinese inscription on the front of the mail mean?
That's Bendigo's sister city, Tianshui, in China.
From Canton to Daigamsan, the Ado family carried the seed. From sea up to the new gold land comes the tree of life, the pomelo tree. Oh, the pomelo tree, tree of power, wakens the dragon for his finest hour. Up from sleeping, ready to prance, wake Sun Lung for the dragon dance. From Canton to Daigamsan, the Ado family carried the seed. From sea up to the new gold land comes the tree of life, the pomelo tree.
This song, written by Faye White, is about a pomelo tree that grows at the back of the museum and will go there soon. But to explain the pomelo tree, here's Russell Jack again, and Russell's talking with Jan Wozitski.
In a moment, I'd like to move around the side of the museum to the pomelo tree. But before we go there, what is a pomelo tree and what does it mean?
Well, the pomelo tree is the father of the grapefruit. Now you can get several different kinds of pomelo, ones without any seeds and things like that. The one we've got here, they came out in a little package from China when my grandfather had a market garden up at Elmore. And with these seeds, my mum grew them up there. And when they took shoot, we brought a few down here to Bridge Street. We had mum planted two down here. And that's one of the original ones.
When did she plant it then?
Oh, it'd be about 1909, around about that time. Long time ago.
And where did she plant it?
She planted it in what they used to call Old Chinatown. In a couple of old back gardens they were. I don't know what happened to the other one, but this one just grew and grew and grew.
Comes the tree of life, the pomelo tree. Eat of the fruit for health to keep.
To get to the pomelo tree, walk around the left side of the museum and out onto Park Street. Go up the hill, immediately take the right fork into the museum car park. On your left is a row of trees. The pomelo is the sixth one along.
From Canton to Daigamsan, the Ado family carried the seed. From sea up to the new gold land comes the tree of life, the pomelo tree.
So on our left is all of the this row of trees, and this is the pomelo. So for people following this to identify it, the pomelo would be the 6th tree up on our left. It's got two trunks coming out of the ground, and then that branches into four main branches. So this is the pomelo tree.
That's the pomelo tree. Before we shifted up here, oh golly, it would have been 25, 30 foot tall, I should imagine. And 30 foot in diameter, it was huge. It used to be a very prolific fruit too.
Gather the heart leaves fresh and mild. Bless the life of a newborn child. Steep the leaves in soft, sweet water. Bathe the head of a baby daughter.
It was down where the museum is now. But in 1990, we had to shift it. And you're looking at a tree, you know, over 80 years of age, and it was almost impossible. We shifted it on the hottest day in the summer, 27th of January, as a matter of fact. We cut two-thirds of the foliage off it, cut all the roots off it to, you know, probably a metre in diameter, and we planted it up here. And, the tree must have really wanted to live, because it rained that night, and it was cool for a couple of weeks, and we flooded it every day. And I, at the end of the fortnight, I said, "That's still alive." They said, "You're mad." I said, "Maybe so, but I'm pretty sure it's still alive." Well, as you see, it must have really wanted to live.
The Ardor family carried the seed from sea up to the new gold land. Comes the tree of life, the pomelo tree.
It was a funny story when we did it, you know. They said, "We're going to put it." I said, "Put it up behind here." So they dug a great big hole here, carved up, stood it up, and then we got the soil from down yonder. But when the chap driving the front end loader dug the first scoop out, he went through a power line that thick. He went white. Yeah, he went white because, you know, we didn't know it was turned on. It was that dangerous. And I said to Tan, I said, "Geez, good job the electricity wasn't turned on." He said, "How do you know?" I said, "His eyes didn't light up." And he was still shaking. Anyhow, fortunately for us, the power wasn't turned on. Anyhow, they come in and it was over there. The main part was over here somewhere. Council came down. They said, "No, you're right, Russ." I said, "Thank heavens for that." But that tree must have really wanted to live. Any other tree would have died. You can't plant a tree that big bare-rooted.
And the pomelo tree, what is its significance?
Well, it's really the father of the grapefruit, but what we use it for in Bendigo is to feed the dragon. We never bring the dragon out unless he feeds on them. That's the tree of life. And you'll find a lot of Chinese ladies, when they have babies, they'll get the leaves of the pomelo tree, put in the water and bathe their babies. It's cleansing.
And when you bring the dragon out for, say, the Easter parade?
Yes, we have Wong Long, that's a week before. That's called the dragon blessing. And in the dragon blessing, what we do, we take the old pomelo leaf out of his mouth and put the new one in. And that brings him to life again. He can he's had his feed and come out and enjoy the weather and the people.
And the leaf, does it come from this tree?
Well, originally it does. It comes from another tree in Bendigo. Now, we've got about three or four trees in Bendigo that sometimes we get the leaves off. But it originally came from this tree. They grew them from seeds.
Does it bear fruit?
Yes. Still bears fruit. But, of course, the vandals pull them off and throw them away.
And so it's a bit like a grapefruit?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's strange. When you say pomelo, a pomelo tastes like a pomelo, like an orange tastes like an orange.
Tiredness went. From Canton to Daigamsan, the Ardor family carried the seed. From sea up to the new gold land, comes the tree of life, the pomelo tree.
The Daigamsan in the song means new gold mountain. That's what the Chinese called these gold fields. Most Chinese diggers returned home, but those who remained are central to the story of this city. You may like to visit the museum now, or come back another day. But our next stop is Bendigo's first Supreme Court, Stop 4. You'll find directions at the beginning of Track 4.